This is the Back Porch Education Podcast. It's Teacher Appreciation Day, so we figured we'd talk about cooking. Let's get to it. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Today, Steve has brought a poem. I have been censured. Steve.
No, it's just feeling. If people listen to our podcast, they get become convinced you're the smart one. You know, you're the guy that has all the poems, and I just follow up. And I said, I can bring a poem too. I read great poets, Shel Silverstein, for instance.
And so, you went highbrow, huh? You're trying to outclass me.
Shel wrote a nice little poem about something I think both you and I have a passion for, food. Okay. In particular, Italian food is the name of the poem. And so allow me to read to you Shel Silverstein's poem entitled Italian Food. Oh, how I love Italian food. I eat it all the time, not just because how good it tastes, but because how good it rhymes. Minestrone, cannelloni, macaroni, rigatoni, spaghettini, scallopini, escarole, braciole, insalata, cremolata, manicotti. Doesn't really rhyme, but marinara, carbonara, shrimp francais, bolognese, ravioli, mustacioli. I don't even know what that is. Mozzarella, tagliatelle, fried zucchini, rollatini, fettuccine, green linguine, tortellini, tetrazzini. Oops, I think I split my genie.
Wow.
Well, I had to try and go for something I knew I could get your enjoyment out of. And both you and I, some of us maintaining our weight better than others, enjoy a fine board of food in front of us and enjoy getting it there. I think you cook from time to time when your wife will actually grant you entrance into the kitchen.
That's right.
I actually cooked my way through a private high school and part of my college experience. I took a job. My first job was as a busboy in a local family restaurant in Kansas City, Kansas, actually Overland Park, Kansas, outside of Kansas City. And I worked my way up into the kitchen. I saw the not just the monetary benefits, but sort of the prestige of cooking as opposed to cleaning up after people have eaten. Yep. And they taught me quite a bit. I hung around the back line quite a bit and learned from some of the chefs how things were supposed to work and kind of got an informal training in quality cooking. And when I got married, so I'm an only child, and you would expect me to be, as I probably am, a little bit on the spoiled side, especially when it comes to cooking. My mama cooked pretty much whatever I wanted and was regularly attentive to my dietary desires. Wow. As opposed to my wife, one of nine children, spread out over the large expanse of 12 years, she was from a large family. Nine kids, 12 years, no twins.
Wow.
And her mom didn't teach her to cook at all. She was so busy.
Of course.
That it was get out of the kitchen type thing.
Right.
So I walked in knowing how to cook, and my wife having normal common sense and ability.
But little formal training.
It was a blank slate in many regards, culinarily in particular. And so I taught her quite a bit of what I knew and directed her towards menus that I preferred. And so I've just continued being a spoiled kid. But I do love to cook.
Yeah.
And I know that we're ostensibly recording this show. the point is Teacher Appreciation Day.
Yes.
Coming up very soon here in May. And how can we appreciate teachers? Mm-hmm. And I was struck by the fact, I've been struck by it many times in 30 years of teaching, But every once in a while, something will happen that indicates to one of my students that that I'm a person, that I have a life outside of school.
Not always immediately apparent to the students.
Correct. They, you don't sit around reading the dictionary at night or whatnot.
I thought they just turned you off and kind of pushed you over to the side.
That's right. You're in your chair every morning when we come in here. We just assume that's your charging station, and you've been there all night. But in trying to appreciate teachers, one of the things is appreciating the diversity that any human brings to a table. But that, at least for me, many students are fascinated by the notion that I would, given what they see of me as an English teacher, that I somehow fit in a kitchen.
Right.
And yet, as we get into that sort of thing, it's I saw it when I started coaching. I don't coach any longer, but back when I coached basketball or soccer, it brought me into a whole different place with my students.
Yes.
Because they saw a side that they didn't see daily in the classroom. And
it was
I
a more red-faced, angrier side.
Yeah. a louder version of Michelle. Jason, actually sees me. The rest of you that are listening to the podcast don't envision me, but I'm not on the thin side. And so the notion that Mr. Elliott at some point had actually played a sport, that some of them approached me on the field or court the first time, like, do you have any idea what you're doing? Yes, way back when.
Right. Time sucks out the juice. A man grows old and indolent, to quote Robinson Jeffers from several episodes back. But yeah, I think that's right. I think that what we're wanting to do in Teacher Appreciation Day is say that a good teacher is a good life, right? And so to the extent that it's easy to burn out as a teacher if that's your only thing. But because you and I both enjoy cooking, we want to say that these other interests, they do have something to do with living well, right? They do have something to do with even teaching well. And so on Teacher Appreciation Day, the day when teachers are appreciated for exactly that, being a teacher, we want to say good on you, but there's more to being a good teacher than just sort of being in the classroom. It's
right.
Part of a life well lived.
I think many people, this is always the difficulty with any attempt to appreciate someone is I want to get them a gift. Well, what would they like?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you tend to think in terms of what you know that they do.
Right.
And so for me,
markers,
I get a lot of Barnes &
pencils.
Yeah, markers,
yeah.
Barnes & Noble gift cards.
Great.
Love
it.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
None of that is bad.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
But it perhaps indicates a narrowness of all they do is teach.
Right.
And, I had a student one time ask me, I know my parents gave you a Barnes & Noble gift card. Do you mind me asking what you bought with it? Because they're fascinated by my breadth of reading. They they go into bookstores that don't want a thing on the shelf.
Right, sure.
I go in and can't. This is only a $10 card. This is not going
to. It's hard to part with it. Yeah.
But I replied by stating I had bought a cookbook.
Nice.
And I said, why would you do that? Now, there's two things going on in that question. One is, what would Mr. Elliott do with a cookbook? Because they didn't realize my penchant for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, two is the generation gap, where to them, there's no reason for a cookbook. You've got all these resources, all these recipes online. Why would you buy access to recipes when they're there for free?
Mm-hmm.
Which is legitimate. And And I'm often reminded when I look back at how my interests have sort of in a spider web sort of way branched out over the years, I'm reminded of old Gilbert Hyatt. I think we've referenced him before.
Paideia?
The Art of Teaching is what I'm thinking of. He has a wonderful section in there about you take your first teaching assignment, let's say that it's literature, and that naturally leads you into studies that involve the history of that particular literature that you're teaching. And before you know it, your supervisor has assigned you a course in that history because they know that you're someone who knows it well. Mm-hmm. Which has guided you into some specific aspect of that history, whether it be, say, political interests or art, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. And it's been that way for me. One of my deep interests is movies. And my father put food on our table for 50 years as a photographer. And so I have some sort of latent knowledge of lenses and film and that sort of thing, all of which have chased him out of the industry because it all went digital and changed everything. But I still love a good movie, and I in particular appreciate a well shot movie. And that led me to when they were fishing around among the faculty in my small school, we would like some more fine arts electives. I said, well, I would love to teach a class on making movies. Bang! All of a sudden, I'm teaching a class on as I entitled it, REEL, real life.
Oh, nice.
And some of it was a music, or not a music, a movie appreciation aspect to it. But then the big project is probably obvious. We
made a movie.
In the cases that I taught, that we made a movie.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Or I keep pitching that, you know, this is the problem with a growing school. They've got me locked into my main gig of teaching English. But if there's ever an opportunity, they know I would be more than happy to teach a culinary arts class.
Nice.
And students have stated very clearly, this is like why some of us took home ec in middle school, right? Either mm-hmm. because that's where all the girls were, or we want to eat our homework,
yeah.
right? there's food involved. Of course, I'll take that class. But that's Hyatt's point, is that there's this, as you passionately seek, I don't know if it's too heavy to say the truth, but at least seek knowledge of whatever field you're involved in, it leads you, all things are tied together. And so it leads you out. And my love of cooking, of course, has led me to bread making, which is something I thoroughly enjoy.
Awesome.
It's led me to at least dabble in what I would call the do-it-yourself part of cooking. Can I make my own tortillas?
Mm-hmm,
especially a trip I took to Guatemala, where I woke up one morning to these ladies patting out these corn tortillas that I would pay an amazing amount of money to have another taste of.
Right, yeah.
Because they were so wonderful. And I said, man, and this is in the mountains of Guatemala. Surely I could do this at home. Well,
yep.
I can't, but I've enjoyed trying.
Sure.
and working on finding just that right set of knowledge to become better at it, or pizza dough pursuits, or my latest really kind of gifted to me again by people wanting to appreciate me, in this case my two oldest sons had some desire to give me a serious gift, and
okay.
so they chose an offset meat smoker.
Nice.
And, they gave it to me at Christmas. So I was like, oh, man, I don't know that I can. Well, it's going to take, given my lack of handiness, I said, it's going to take me 6 months to assemble this sucker. But once it got, you know, I'm the quintessential modern got something new to do guy. I went on YouTube and started gathering videos and recipes.
That's it, man.
Tips and tricks and what not to do. And because I recognized almost immediately the hardest thing here is you got to keep a fire going, but you don't want it. You want steady heat.
Right.
And this seems to be like the mystical aspect of smoking is
temperature
control. Not too cold. Yeah. Yeah. Temperature control.
Yeah.
And so And it is an amazing addiction once you get once you've my very first attempt was this this classic, and I've cooked long enough to know that you don't start right off trying the classics, right?
Okay. Okay.
You build your way up to
training wheels.
Yes. Don't start out on the Harley.
Right.
But there was this old thing that I've always been fascinated by, in part because of the name, right? The beer can chicken. It involves a can of beer.
Sure.
Going right up the middle of a whole chicken, and it stands on its end. It stands on that beer can. The beer can is shoved up into the
vent,
middle of the chicken.
We call that, yeah.
And it roasts this way, and the beer provides the humidification to keep it moist and so on.
Well, no kidding,
it exists.
In theory.
It's out there. There's 100 videos about it.
Okay.
But then you get into, well, is it a full can? Should you cut the top off?
Right.
There's all these questions that come up. Does it have to be expensive or cheap beer? Low and slow or higher
how much,
heat?
Yeah. How big is the chicken supposed to be?
Man, there's a dozen questions.
Yeah.
One friend said, well, with a wine bottle and a turkey, would that work? After my first attempt, which was beer can chicken, and we wound up finishing
that bad boy
off. You
guys had Wendy's
that
day? Yeah, okay.
Well, no, we finished it. We ate late and had to finish it off in the oven because it just wasn't working. But after that attempt, it has been nothing but delightful experiences. It is low and slow, so it takes a long time. But I'm a teacher. I'm okay with that. Patience is something you gotta have, right?
That's right.
So this past Christmas, fortunately without too frigid a temperature, a pork butt went on the smoker at 4:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and was served up deliciously at 1 p.m., which was the time we wanted to eat, not because it took longer. And there's just not a dissatisfied customer, right? So my point is that someone was trying to appreciate me, knew that I like cooking, gave me this new opportunity, certainly I had done the charcoal grill.
Right,
or the gas grill, but that's not even, I mean, there's very little there.
Mm-hmm.
My base fire and the offset, it starts with charcoal, but then it quickly moves to wood, which is a whole new experience. But other than how to light a batch of charcoal, I haven't used much of the one venue of cooking over here in this new.
Yeah.
And so it did delight me. Of course, my sons are delighted. They were members of that Christmas feast.
Yeah, they're eating like kings. Okay.
Yeah, hey, that was a good choice there. But it is so encouraging. As you said, I think at the beginning is a big point. Teachers can become ensconced in teaching. There's no end to the planning. There's no end to what could be done to be better, coming up with new ideas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Reading that next book, my list on Amazon, my wish list for books connected with my work will never.
It grows faster than it shrinks, right?
Exactly. I mean, even when I do occasionally make a purchase off of there, I'm taking one off and putting four more on. So this notion that I can have a space that gets me out of teaching that's still in thrilling and exciting and a passion to me, but isn't about that main thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's true in any profession, but teaching seems to be one of those that can just overtake your life.
Yeah.
And to have, I don't want to call it an escape because I don't think I'm escape. I'm moving from one reality to another.
Right.
And And that's a valuable thing.
Right. Absolutely it is. And I think the point I want to hammer home from that is it's not that, you having a smoker and being able to make this, it provides a sort of another outlet for you that makes you a better teacher. No. It's sort of worth pursuing in its own right. And it brings you joy and it provides a service to your family. It enriches your life. It's good for its own sake. And to the extent that you are living a life well lived, that will pay dividends in the classroom, but I almost don't want to admit it because I don't want to fall into the trap of making a utilitarian argument. You see what
right,
I'm
only doing this. I'm only doing this to be a better teacher, right? That's not
right.
The point.
Exactly. I'm going to go.
The point is, I'm doing
right
this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this to not think about being a teacher for a little while.
Well, I'm going to go right here. I'm going to go straight back to Pieper in Leisure as the Basis of Culture, where he says the man who, like, no doubt, the man who prays sleeps better at night. But if you pray before you go to bed so that you will sleep better, you've missed it entirely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not drawing an analogy. I'm not saying, I'm not saying smoking meat is prayer. Although there may be some of some prayer going on when you put 60 bucks worth of meat.
Yeah. That's right.
The thing. But what I'm saying is, these other arts are not undertaken so that we can be better teachers. They're undertaken because of the benefits that they have to us as people and our communities, the glory that they give God. And that's what makes it worth doing, right?
Yeah. You want to appreciate a good teacher, appreciate them as a person,
right?
And not just because they're really good at making tests or because they
the extra mile or whatever.
Right. So encouraging. Although some of that is, of course, flowing out of how good a person they are.
Yeah.
Which is made better by their other pursuits, their life outside the life of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not in any way attacking the notion that teaching is an act from all of life and isn't a easily compartmentalized thing. I understand that.
Yeah.
The other aspect of this that always kind of surprises me is that once students find out or perhaps even taste my cooking, whether find out that I'm a cook or have some there for a while when I was teaching religious studies at another school, middle school, somebody gave me, he's a Bible teacher and he's a cook. They gave me the Good Book Cookbook.
Wow.
Which is the result of, believe it or not, such things exist, food archaeologists.
Nice.
Who had sought out the authentic recipes for food throughout the Bible. And so it did fascinate me.
That
and I
cool.
tried a few things at home and whatnot. And my wife was just like, well, I remember the few times in my life when teachers brought something in for us to eat. You know, that was like the highlight of the year.
Right.
What if you had a biblical foods day and either had shared recipes with the kids and they made them at home and brought them in, which we did a couple of times, or you just made something for them, right? And so the tastes of the Middle Eastern cuisine of, the palate of Abraham is radically different than our own.
Okay.
They're right. Yeah. So the modern American has a extreme taste for sugar.
Yeah, of course.
Is used to a lot of things that just aren't available to someone cooking 2,000 years before Christ.
I mean, wars were fought over salt, right?
Right. Exactly. It's a great book, by the way, is Salt, The History of the World, in which the author traces much of ancient history is the availability of salt, the fighting wars over salt, and so on and so forth.
Add to Amazon wish list.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is
okay,
really an interesting read.
Yeah.
Fascinating. But I can remember, of course, the notion that in some cases they hated what I brought in. Right, I brought in raisin cakes, and they were all like, "Oh, this will be sweet." Well, no, the best sweetener they had was honey.
Right,
and so the second time I did the next year, I brought in raisin cakes, and then just totally violated the spirit of the thing with whipped cream. And about half of them, of course, ate the whipped cream, took one bite of the raisin cake, like, blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
But that was my requirement. You have to take at least one bite.
Yeah.
And I recognize that your palate just might not be used to this. I've raised four kids. I recognize sometimes what I know is really good food is not a, you know, a five-year-old's going to turn their nose up at it. It's too complex for them.
Right.
But my point that I got lost in is that the modern student often, once they find out that I can cook, well, why don't you do that for money? You see where they go? Why do you teach when you could make, and of course, this is in part the influence of TV and Netflix and so on. I mean, you could be one of those, you know, TV chefs making millions of dollars. You know, you could be the next Guy Fieri or whatnot.
Right.
And what bothers them is not that I shy away going, oh, I'm not that good, which is probably true.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But my response is I don't want to. Well, what do you mean? I think the times that I've been paid to cook have been my lowest. It's been the low tide of my passion about cooking, because it becomes this duty and this chore and this daily, oh, I've got to make the mashed potatoes again kind of thing.
Right.
As opposed to the delight it is for me right now, where I'm cooking for people I love. I'm cooking things that are often new and different to me, trying out new recipes and that sort of thing. And it's an adventure as opposed to a job.
Right.
And of course, that's pushed me to reflect back on my own teaching.
Yeah.
And it's given me a number. You know, it's Socrates, I think, that said teachers shouldn't be paid. And he had several reasons for it, one of which was the fact that it turns it from a delight and a true pursuit of truth to here's what I'm telling you, now give me my money.
Right.
You know, a transaction.
Transactional, right.
And he was very concerned that, of course, that would have an effect on whether you taught the truth or not. Often the truth isn't appreciated when it's taught.
Right.
The discerning teacher might adjust things so as to keep the money coming in, which is all perhaps off the notion. But I the best teachers, the ones I appreciated the most, certainly taught more out of a passion for the subject material and the students than the whatever paycheck there might be coming in. I mean, we have at least followed Socrates in not paying teachers a lot. Anyway,
I think that's a good
soapbox for the day.
No, it's good. I think it's a good place to wind into, right, is what we started this podcast trying to say was that there are skills, let's call them arts, there are arts like smoking meat, or, you know, whatever it is, chopping wood, I don't care. Like, it could be whatever your thing is, right? It doesn't have to be cooking. But there are arts like cooking.
Making onion rings. I've recently discovered Jason's onion rings are better than anything else he's ever eaten.
Yeah.
And he hasn't made them for me yet.
Oh,
and so it's perhaps a future episode of our podcast will be my critique.
Bring it on, man. If you can come up with some way to improve my onion rings, I'm all for it. No, but I do stand by the claim that I have never had onion rings better than the ones that I make.
Well, I'm more than willing to be convinced of that fact.
Okay, good. Good deal.
We've got to follow up on this.
Yeah, we'll have to smoke some meat and make some onion rings. I learned it much the same way that you did, right? As a I started as a dishwasher and became a fry cook when I was in high school. And I learned a lot about sort of cooking and the kitchen at a little Greasy Spoon restaurant in my hometown that made, for some reason, when everyone else has decided to just open the bag and dump it in.
Right.
You know, the owner had decided that making onion rings by hand was still the way to do it. And I'm so glad that he had because
it is.
I learned how to make really good onion rings. And so, yeah, it's one of those things. For me, cooking is not the same. I don't get a tremendous joy out of trying new stuff a lot. For me, it's much more like I sit Courtney makes a lot of wonderful food. And every once in a while, there's a dish that she just doesn't want to make or, it's more of like a special occasion thing. I find myself filling that role. So another example would be General So. I love to make General So. And I think it's fantastic. My family enjoys it a lot. And so that's not something that's on the menu every week for us. But I find myself making it every once in a while. And it's always a big time when
we have
it.
It's an active celebration this is – we know we're going to enjoy this meal. Daddy's making his General So.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And it's sort of, for me, I don't know, I bringing the food to the table, like you said at the very beginning, I like having a lot of yummy food in front of me, right? That's awesome. Thanksgiving, whatever. But I also really like to participate in the production of that food. As much as I like to participate in the consumption, right? So that's kind of a neat thing for me. It's good. But where I was going with this is where you were talking about Socrates, right? We started by saying there are arts that are worth pursuing for their own sake, arts like cooking. Yeah. But where we want to end, and I think it's an appropriate end for Teacher Appreciation Day, is teaching is also one of those arts that is worth pursuing for its own sake. Not necessarily for the bags of cookies and Smarties and Expo markers that you will undoubtedly get, given with love, no doubt. But because it's a worthwhile pursuit. And so we're grateful for the opportunity to practice the art. And we're grateful for our fellow artists who are also teaching. So I don't know. I think that's a pretty fitting place to end. Steve, what do you say?
If you think most teachers teach because they can't do anything else, you're probably right. Hmm. And I don't mean that as a negative. I mean that as a great positive. There's a compulsion. There's a calling. There's a drive. Mm-hmm. The times I've stepped away from professional teaching for various reasons in my career it didn't stop me from teaching.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It just meant I wasn't getting paid to do it at the moment. Right. But my wife has commented on the fact you always find a way. And I believe that. I think that's true. She's a teacher and has found ways to teach, even though she's only taught professionally maybe 3 or 4 years of our 33-year marriage. Mm-hmm. There's never been a day where she got out of bed and wasn't a teacher.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it was towards the the children or her fellow employees or me, or just herself, right? Just this pursuit. And I think it's a very human art that all of us have to a greater or lesser degree. My mother was a professional teacher. My father would never attempt to be paid to teach something. And yet as a photographer, and it was constantly willing, still willing, when one of his grandsons expresses interest in some sort of photography, here's, you know, he'll tell him what he knows because it's his passion. And yeah, I think you've brought it to just exactly the right place. That you want to appreciate teachers, appreciate the fact that they love truth, and find a way to express that to them. You'll probably make their hearts glow in much bigger ways than just an apple. Yeah. As appreciative right. as we are for those sorts of material gifts, the true appreciation is when you join in us seeking the truth.